Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
If you didn't think I was going to come on this show after that game in the Sugar Bowl and have some fun at the SEC's expense, well, you and I do not know each other well enough just yet. I'm Pete Mundo, by the way. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. We are on the web. Go to heartlandcollegesports.com. Join our forums. Have a blast. We're on X. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Just search Heartland College Sports. You can find us there. And I know that many of you, hopefully, will be hitting the thumbs up on this video, subscribing to the podcast and the YouTube channel. Oh, gosh. That was so enjoyable to watch. Does anybody know? Did you know that Georgia just lost to Notre Dame by the more points technically than Indiana lost to Notre Dame by a couple of weeks ago? Should we throw that out there for the ESPN talking heads? Do you think that's going to make Get Up, which I don't get up for tomorrow morning? Do you think that'll make First Take? Do you think that'll be a headline on PTI? Probably not. And we all know why. The SEC continues to have an awful bowl season in the games that ultimately matter. Think about what this bowl season has looked like for a conference that insisted it should have gotten five teams into the 12-team college football playoff because South Carolina was crying, Alabama was crying, Ole Miss was crying. I mean, really, they wanted six when all is said and done. They got three. And that wasn't good enough for the almighty SEC. No. Here's the problem for the SEC. They are undefeated in hypothetical games. But when the games actually get played, it's a different story. And that's part of what you saw in the Sugar Bowl on Thursday night. Now, think about this, right? The big, bad SEC, the five schools they wanted in. Oh my gosh, this is just too good. Well, let's see. One loss to 9-3 Illinois. That would have been South Carolina. You had a team lose to 7-5 Michigan. That would have been Alabama, right? You have one team, a team we know all too well, who ended up needing a couple of overtimes and a gift from the officials to get by Arizona State. That would be Texas, right? Huh. You had a team get crushed to the team that finished third place in the Big Ten. We all know what game that is, right? That was the other night, Oregon, Ohio State. So that's not a good sign, right? It's like, well, what are we going to do about that? How is that going to play out? Excuse me, that was Ohio State, Tennessee. And then you have what you just saw on Thursday night in the Sugar Bowl. And I know the excuses are going to be running hot. The excuses are going to be all about, oh my gosh, they didn't have their quarterback. Of course it would have been different. See, there's always some kind of excuse built in when you're the SEC. That's how it works. That's how this is allowed to go when you are the SEC. Because for the large part, you will have some of the loudest voices in the sport defending you. That's what you will get. And that's what we are going to see on full display over the next 24 hours. All right? But since the media meltdown about the best teams conversation, you've seen Tennessee get blown out by Ohio State. You've seen Georgia lose by 13 in Notre Dame. You've seen the snub of Alabama losing to Michigan's backups. And you've seen the snub of South Carolina losing to Illinois. And then you saw Texas barely eke by an Arizona State team that they were favored by two touchdowns against, who got a ridiculous, ridiculous gift of a call and regulation on no targeting, which even Gene Steratore, yes, the NFL referee legend, chiming in on X on Thursday morning saying that was definitely targeting. By the book, that was targeting. And the amazing part is you have seen Texas fanboys and reporters insist it's not. Like, guys, just at least admit you got away with one, for crying out loud. Oh, my goodness. They can't help themselves, though. So I think at this point it's indisputable that the Big Ten is better than the SEC this season. And the Big 12, I don't believe, is all that far off from where the SEC is at. I mean, Texas, you look at that game against Arizona State. You really going to tell me that Arizona State did not deserve to be on the field with Texas? They did. They absolutely deserve to be on the field with Texas. Okay, anybody who's telling you that's not the case is a liar or an SEC fanboy. One or the other. They're not someone who's given it to you straight. They are not somebody who is, frankly, a credible voice. If they did not watch that game and come away to the obvious conclusion that Arizona State could hang with Texas. If they play 10 times, Texas maybe wins 6, maybe you eke out 7, but there are 10 competitive games if those two teams healthy play each other 10 times. It's not the drumming that people thought it was going to be, and I never thought it was going to be the drumming that people expected. Obviously, my prediction was wrong. I had Arizona State winning 31-30 over Texas. I came awfully close to that happening, I will add, but obviously I was on the wrong side of things. Who knows how things would have been different had the penalty that should have been called at the end of the game been called. Could you imagine we could have, right now, a college football playoff semifinal that does not have one SEC team in it? We were a blown call away from that potentially happening. I'm not going to give it to Arizona State that they would have won. They've had plenty of issues in the kicking game. But we are one call away from the SEC not having a single team in the Final Four. Think about that. And think about what kind of damage that would have done to the narrative that has been shoved down our throats in this sport. I really don't want to sit here and make this political in any way, and I'm not going to do it right now. All I will say is there are some eerie similarities to what you are seeing right now in college football media, to what you have seen for the last several years in your news media. You can interpret that however you want to interpret it. Listen, I do a talk show in Kansas City 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. I can get my opinions out in that space there on those issues. But there are eerie similarities to what you are seeing in college football media from the loudest voices, which is basically don't believe your own eyes, don't believe your own ears, do not use your own brain, just listen to us. And then when you sit there and you say, but wait, but no, shut up. Look at Kirk Herbstreit's dog, damn it. Look at the dog. Isn't the dog so beautiful? Who doesn't love a dog? Come on, Irby's got a dog. Look at the dog. No. I'm going to be a thinking person. I'm going to put on my thinking cap. I'm going to watch the games like many of you do every single Saturday and say, you know, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I'm not seeing what some of the loudest voices are seeing. And finally, the games got played and magically, voila. Huh. Looks a heck of a lot different, doesn't it? It's funny how that works. So this has been a disastrous bowl season for the SEC. I'm here for it. I'm enjoying every second of it. The question is, what does it mean going forward? Well, first off, the conference champions went 0-5 in the college football playoff. So as I told you the other day, this thing will be restructured because getting a bye isn't that big of a deal. In many respects, it might be helpful to not get a bye. You get a game against lesser competition, theoretically, as the higher seed in the first round. You shake off some of the rust you haven't played in a couple of weeks. And then you still get about a week and a half to prepare for your next game. And these guys are 18 to 23 years old for the most part. So their bodies aren't beaten up like NFL guys are at 30, 35 in many cases. So the whole thing about rest is less relevant at the college game. if anything else, what you saw was the teams who played in the first round looked like they got off to faster starts. The rust was basically knocked off already. I mean, think about the Arizona State-Texas game. Texas scores on their first drive, whether they take three plays to score a touchdown. Then they had the return for a score on special teams. They were off to the races, right? And they just were a team that clearly was a well-oiled machine. But then once Arizona State got going and that rust felt like it got knocked off, then we had a ball game. So there's got to be a way to figure this out that incentivizes teams to win their conference championship, because if not, the conference championship, which I told you and I still believe is going to die at some point, is just going to die a faster death. That's what's going to happen here. Now, I could see it where I don't think it's going to happen this year or next year. I think we're probably a few years away from this, from getting rid of the college or getting rid of the conference championship games. But what I could see him doing out of the gates is basically expanding this thing to 14 or 16 and just saying, forget the byes, do 116, 215, 314, kind of like an NCAA tournament bracket, and just go from there. Maybe you do two rounds of games on campus. That's what I would do. That's how I would fix this thing and improve this thing and just keep it rolling. And forget the conference championship. Just do it based on the rankings. The question is, can the rankings be more fair? Or are they going to be based off of dopey preseason polls that are heavily skewed towards one conference because that's where a lot of the writers are located? And then you get a conference that totally games the system by playing a couple of FCS games and only eight conference games under the guise of we're the SEC, we need a breather. Is anybody ever going to realize what's going on here? I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We appreciate you. Make sure you hit that thumbs up on the video, subscribe to the channel and the podcast, and we are grateful that you are here. It costs you nothing, but it helps us in a very big way. You might not understand why. That's okay. We just ask you to do it if you're enjoying the show here at Heartland College Sports. Now, the other thing to note here, as you look back on bowl season, is that BYU continues to have a very strong case. And John Paul just brought this up. BYU should have gotten in. Same number of losses as SMU. Beat them at home and played a tougher schedule, and they weren't even in the picture. You're right about that, John. And have you seen the disaster of the ACC in these bowl games? I mean, they have had a horrific bowl season. The ACC, last I checked, was 1-9 in bowl games. And I don't count Notre Dame. All right? Notre Dame does not count as an ACC team. Notre Dame just plays along with the ACC because they kind of have to want to play with somebody. So they'll tag along. They'll play a couple of ACC games. They don't play in the ACC championship. Like, they're not an ACC team. You can't call Notre Dame an ACC team. But, I mean, the ACC was 0-10 against the spread in bowl games, failing to cover by 8.3 points. They just had the worst bowl season of any conference ever. It was horrible.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, you can't do worse than the ACC. So you look at that and you say to yourself, well, maybe BYU really did get snubbed. And with how they looked in that Alamo Bowl, that feels like it's not a big hot take to make at this point. Now, we said leading up to the college football playoff selection Sunday, it was weird and bizarre that BYU was getting no love, but what was the committee doing? They were giving preferential treatment to SMU over BYU because BYU did lose their two games in the final month of the season. They were getting preferential treatment, SMU was, based on what they had done lately. And BYU was getting hit for how it had played lately, even though BYU's two losses were not bad losses at all, right? I mean, they end up losing to Arizona State, which, listen, that's a damn good loss. I don't care how you spin it. And then Kansas was playing red hot there at the end. And let's be honest, too. If you watch the games, Kansas got a crazy fluke play to set up that game-winning touchdown on special teams, right? And that's not to take anything away from KU. I am not doing that by any stretch of the imagination. But how you lose a game, how you win a game, that's the whole point of having a committee. In fairness, BYU did have a lot of very close losses, or a lot of very close wins. You look at the Oklahoma State game, you look at the Utah game, some controversy there. Okay, I'll factor that in, maybe you even it all out in the end. But the fact that there was never even a conversation about BYU was a disservice to the Big 12 Conference. That is indisputable. I see that some of the SEC upset trolls are coming in. Patrick writes that Nick Saban's departure has diminished the entire SEC. Patrick, I don't know if it's Saban. What I will say is I find it fascinating that the shine is wearing off the SEC at the very same time, and for Alabama and Georgia in particular, at the very same time that everybody is now legally paying players. Do with that information what you want. I'd be curious to get your opinion on that if you want to leave it here in the channels. But I don't think it's a total coincidence that the shine is starting to wear off Alabama and starting to wear off Georgia a little bit as everybody is suddenly allowed to openly play players, pay players. I don't think that's just one big coincidence. You can tell me if you think it is, in which case I will sell you some beachfront property in Salina, Kansas, and hit me up after the show for some of that. All right. But I don't think that's just some strange coincidence. I will just throw that out there as well. And you can do with that information what you want. So the buys are going to go away because what you're seeing here is you are seeing teams that end up having a little bit of a what you call a tune-up, a warm-up game in the first round. And that's part of why you saw these conference champions go 0-5 in these games. And some of them weren't even all that close. The conference champions did not benefit from winning their own league title. And considering these league titles, the get-in prices were pretty cheap that first Saturday in December on the 7th. I don't see how they're going to revive these things. It used to mean something to win a Big 12 or SEC or ACC championship. You think Georgia fans are like, well, you know, we just lost to Notre Dame, but at least we won the SEC title this year. You think they're hanging their hat on that? No, they're already like, where did this thing go wrong? Why didn't we beat Notre Dame? We need more guys in here. Like, they're not going to be like, well, we won the SEC. It was a good year. It's now all about the playoff. And that was one of the risks that was taken when you expanded the playoff out of the gates. You diminish the things that come before it. And that happens in many respects in any sport where you continue to expand the postseason. And college football's greatness was always in the regular season. And it still is in large part. It still is the best regular season in all of North American sports, but a little bit of the shine has definitely been lost. Now, for those people wanting to go back to the BCS, here's how the BCS would have looked at the end of the season, just so we all are on the same page. The BCS would have had Oregon at number one, Georgia at two. So we would have had an Oregon-Georgia national championship. Notre Dame at three, Texas at four, Ohio State at five, Penn State at six, Tennessee at Tennessee at seven, Indiana 8, Boise State 9, Arizona State 10. Now, I don't want to go back to the BCS from the standpoint of, you know, going back to a model where it's just one versus two for a national championship. But what would be interesting, and I'm just going to throw this out there, what would be interesting is if you used the BCS to go out there and at least do the rankings on the teams. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but in a weird way, and I can't believe I'm saying this, when it comes to at least doing the rankings, I might trust the BCS system more than I trust the human beings on this committee. Because one thing about the computer, in theory, can't be skewed. Now, you can skew based on what you put into the computer system, but the computer itself is not going to skew something, right? The formula of the computer system will potentially make a difference and will potentially have impacts on what the computer system spits out. But it's not going to have any kind of inherent bias. And that may be something, I don't see it ever happening, because once human beings get power, they don't usually like to give it up. The egos on this committee are not going to be like, you know what, let's give it to the computers. They love having that power. They are obsessed with having the power. But it's just something to say, maybe the grass isn't always greener, right? And it pains me because I was not a BCS guy. But in hindsight, with where the sport was trending, with the power brokers within the sport, with the TV network involved with trying to control the sport as the de facto college football commissioner, and that's what ESPN basically is, the college football commissioner, since there is no commissioner right now, this is unfortunately what you get, a very broken and biased system. And until that part of it gets fixed, you're just going to have to continue to realize that we have an imperfect system. And you got to hope like heck that once these games are played, people start to open up their eyes a little bit. And if the SEC fanboys on ESPN and elsewhere cannot open up their eyes after what happened in this bowl season to Tennessee, to Georgia, to Alabama, if they can't see that, if they can understand how we got here, and how South Carolina, one of the snubs, losing to Illinois was not a good look. The Alabama loss to Michigan, not a good look. Georgia, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Ohio State. Until they can come to that obvious conclusion that maybe we've got to reevaluate things on our end, I don't see how things change anytime soon. I'd like them to. I want them to. But I won't sit here and BS you and say that I'm optimistic it's going to happen. Just something to note. Peter writing here, why can't we use the basketball point system with quadrant wins and losses? Open to it, Peter. I would be curious to get a data guy on the show. I might try to do that in the next few days and maybe explain why they can't. I don't know if it's maybe tied to the fact that you don't have enough data points with only 10, 11, 12 games. But that is definitely something that is worth looking into. You know, how many quad one wins does a team have? That gets talked about all the time, right? On when you get close to the NCAA tournament, comparing quad one wins, quad one plus quad two wins, how many, if you have any quad four losses, does a team have? I just don't know if the data points are there in numbers to make that an effective way to compare teams. What I do know is that strength of schedule continues to be a broken model because it heavily favors the SEC, same thing with the ESPN FPI, which is very broken. Georgia had the number one strength of schedule in the country. Notre Dame was 44. I mean, is it time for a new metric, or at least not relying so heavily on that metric? I'm going to share this post here that was very well done by Big 12 I don't know if he's a fan or what he is. He follows us on Heartland College Sports' Twitter X account. And he writes here, Jeff Fuller writes, has ESPN's FPI put in an algorithmic glass ceiling for the Big 12? Even factoring in the Big 12 strong bowl season, not a single one has made the FPI top 20. While the ACC, who had an abysmal postseason, as I noted, 1-9, still has four teams in the top 15 of the ESPN FPI, including unranked 9-4 Louisville at number 12. FPI has 10 SEC teams above the Big 12's top team, which is number 21 Arizona State. This despite the fact that Arizona State just took Texas to double OT and killed them on the stat sheet. How did the FPI deal with that college football playoff result? Texas dropped one spot in the ESPN FPI to number 2. Arizona State went up one spot to number 21. 7-6 USC at number 18 is higher on the ESPN FPI than any Big 12 school. BYU finished 11-2 and got stiff-armed by the College Football Playoff Committee. And the media talking heads not even being in the conversation for the last at-large spot. BYU was number 32 in the FPI before blowing out Colorado. And they finally got into the top 25 at number 25. Fuller writes here that biased systems like ESPN's FPI help give cover to the College Football Playoff Committee to downgrade Big 12 teams like BYU and have to be eliminated or fixed, with the new algorithms being made completely transparent. FPI can no longer be taken seriously, yet it currently is the framework from which ESPN and the College Football Playoff Committee derive their strength of schedule and strength of record rankings from, that they quote in the selection shows. Fix this now. That is very well said. It is spot on. And you can see that post on our Twitter X account. Just search Heartland College Sports. Find us there. And we're also on Instagram, on Facebook. And we are always talking about this and more on our forums, which are free at heartlandcollegesports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. If you are new here or if you're back here and you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. It is free. It costs you nothing. And it is a great way to continue to support us because this show is growing because of you. So thank you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Pete Mundo. HeartlandCollegeSports.com is where you find us. Take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.